Psalm 121.
We were in a real rough kind of a spot there. But what struck me about that time was that we were two Christian believers and we were completely unaffected by what was going on around us. The circumstances that we found ourselves in weren't great, but we had God's word and we had one another. And so we started talking about God and His Word, and I said, I'm preparing a message in Psalm 121, and we started reading Psalm 121. Well, I started reading. The other believer had it memorized, which surprised me. And as I was reading, they were reciting from memory. And so we read through it together, even though I had the words in front of me and they didn't. And everything else faded away except for the Word of God. And afterwards, we prayed. And I remember thinking as I left that these are the times that touch your heart as a believer. When, regardless of what is going on around you, you can get with another Christian, another believer, share the Word of God, talk to God, and everything else ceases to matter. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight. The question was asked, where does our help come from? And it is answered in this passage, our help comes from the Lord. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can all gather in your house tonight and look at your word. I pray for the message that it reaches us and that it does what your will would have it do to us. I pray for those that are here and those who are not here, Father, that you bless us richly this evening. Help us to focus, help us to understand your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 121 is a psalm of ascent. Now, Jerusalem sits on top of Mount Zion. And right next door to Jerusalem is the Mount of Olives. It's kind of nearby. There's a narrow kind of valley, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, separating them. So no matter how you approach Jerusalem, to get to it, you have to go up. Even people who would come down from the north said, we have to get up to Jerusalem. And traditionally, Jewish families were to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times a year for three feasts, as they were known. It's known in the Hebrew as the Shalosh, the three pilgrimage festivals. Now, I'm not going to butcher the Hebrew on this, but they are Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles. So you have Jerusalem sitting on this hilltop or this mountaintop, Mount Zion, And then all around Jerusalem, for those of you who have been there, I know Pastor Jay has, you have what are known as the Judean Hills or the Judean Mountains. So while ascending up to Jerusalem for these feasts, you could see the mountains, the hills that surrounded Jerusalem. And what people would sing as they were making these pilgrim journeys would be the songs of ascent that we have in our book of Psalms in the Bible. So they would walk up to Jerusalem and sing the songs of ascent. And the songs of ascent would remind those who sang them and those who heard them sung about God's grace, His mercy, His provision, His protection, and most importantly, salvation. Psalm 121 is a psalm about God's provision for those who trust in Him. It is relevant for those who sung it on their journey to Jerusalem, and it is relevant for modern day Christians on our journey to eternity. It reminds us that God is present in the journey, and He will be present at the destination. God abides with us. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You can almost picture those Jewish travelers heading into Jerusalem, looking up to the hills and asking, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and who made earth. The psalmist looked to those hills and saw that God had made them, and he recognized that the source of his help was the Lord. This is a good reminder to us because oftentimes we need to be reminded who the source of our help is. We tend to forget that it comes from the Lord when we face trials, when we face setbacks, when we face hardship in life, when we face uncertainty, when we face doubt and fear. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If we look a little further down to verses 3 and 4, we see the type of help that the Lord brings to us. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep, depending on your translation. I've got the Pastor Adam Revised up here, apparently. The Lord will not allow their foot to be moved. Imagine for a moment traveling, more than likely in sandals or in bare feet, up a path to Jerusalem. Now, this was before Rome had come through and built roads. More than likely, the path was rocky. More than likely, in places, it was uneven, maybe even broken. Think about making that journey 3 times a year, both going and coming. No cars. Maybe you might have a donkey, but that would be about it. They had to have help from somewhere, and that help came from the Lord. Back in the 90s, when I was at Michigan State, my buddy Brian and I took a trip to Yellowstone together for spring break. And we saw geysers and natural springs and wildlife, and we went hiking every single day just exploring this beautiful national park. Oftentimes, we would trudge up hills or on uneven paths, and we had boots with very good ankle support in them. But still, there were times when we slipped. There were times when it was slow going. There were times, for me, when it was hard, a bit perilous, The bears were starting to come out of their hibernation. There was still snow and ice falling, even though it was spring break, right? And bison were everywhere. The first time we went out on a hike, Brian almost walked into the back end of a bison because we're walking on this path and there's this huge thing blocking part of the path. And he said, "That can't be a bison. Nothing that huge could be alive." But yes, it was. The danger that we faced was nothing compared to the danger that those pilgrims faced going to Jerusalem. The danger of falling and injuring themselves was a real possibility for them traveling at the time that this was sung. Not to mention bandits and robbers and wildlife that they faced themselves. The Lord will not allow your foot to be moved. You will not slip on your journey. We flip over to Ephesians 6. Verses 11 and 13, we read the following. And this is talking about the armor of God, but listen to the key word that applies to our passage this evening of stand. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We cannot stand against the devil without the help of the Lord. We cannot stand in this life without the help of the Lord. We cannot stand against the adversity we face without the help of the Lord. Flipping back a little to Romans 5:2, we read, and this is talking about Jesus. Jesus, through whom also we have access by faith into grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. As believers in Christ, we stand in the grace of God. We stand in the strength of God. We stand in the faith of God. We stand in the Christian liberty that God provides, and we stand perfect and complete within His will if we belong to Him. Flipping back to 1 Samuel 2:9, you don't have to follow if you don't want to. We're going to end up back in Psalms. But 1 Samuel 2:9, we read this. He will guard the feet of His saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength, no man shall prevail. And I would just add, by man's strength alone, none shall prevail. With God, all things are possible, even the things that to us seem impossible. God will not allow us to slip physically. God will not allow us to slip spiritually. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He, the Lord who keeps us, will not sleep. God will and does watch over his people, similar to a watchman and how they would watch over the city, similar to a shepherd and how they would watch over their flock. The watchman and the shepherd never sleep, and they provide security over all that they are responsible for. Now, I've told this story before, so if you've heard it, I apologize. If you haven't, here it is. I had an older brother who was stationed in the Marine Corps down at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Brian and I went down for a visit on another spring break, and we pull up to the gate, and we're greeted by these United States Marine Corps guards who were all business, and they looked to be about 9 feet tall. We were nonetheless very intimidated by them because their manner, their bearing, they were serious, they were focused, and they were all business. Now, Brian and I at the time, we were proud MSU Spartans. And when the guard took a look at our license and saw that we were from Michigan, he remarked to the other guard, "Oorah, a couple of Wolverines." And we did not correct him. Self-preservation won out over school pride. But their job is to provide security, and they take it very seriously, and they do not sleep either. The Lord does not slumber. He is our greatest and our only source of security in this life. The Lord will not slumber, as it says in verse 3, and then in verse 4, for emphasis, he shall not slumber nor sleep. I'm reminded of 1 Kings, where Elijah mocks the followers of Baal. When the false god fails to send the fire down, Elijah says, "Well, perhaps he is sleeping." Our Lord never sleeps. Verse 5 and 6 show the care that the Lord has for his people. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Hebrew word here, shamar, is used 6 times in this psalm alone. 6 times in these 8 verses. And it can be translated both as keep and preserve. We must remember again that those who were traveling faced real danger. As I've said, there were bandits and there were robbers on the path. There was wildlife to be contended with, and there was heat. At nighttime, there was darkness. There were no street lamps. When it fell dark, it was dark, dark. The Lord will keep and preserve you no matter what we come across on our journey. The Lord will keep and preserve them no matter what they faced on the road to Jerusalem. Night and day, darkness and in light. The Lord never slept. He was always on watch. He watched over them. He watched over us. Like the psalmist and the singers who sung the psalm, say that 10 times really fast. Like the psalmist and the singers who sung the psalm, the Lord keeps and preserves us as well. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. In other words, he is always our protection. We flip back to Psalm 91, verse 2, talking about the shade
I went a little too far.
Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. The same word for shadow is used for shade in Psalm 121, verse 5. We can trust the Lord because He will never fail us. He will never be caught asleep. God preserves His people both now and forever. We can't say that about anything else or anyone else. People will fail us. People will let us down. Things will fail us. They will let us down. The Lord never fails us. The Lord will never let us down. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We can have great confidence in God's protecting power. He is all-powerful. He preserves us from all evil. He is all-powerful. He can and does preserve our soul. This is a great blessing and a great comfort to us. It does not mean, however, that we will have necessarily an easy life. We look at figures like Paul in the Bible, and he certainly did not have an easy life. Many of us, if not all of us, in this sanctuary this evening have not had an easy life. Life is hard. Life is a struggle. Life is a grind. It bears down on you. It tires you out. Being a Christian oftentimes will make that more difficult. We face ridicule. We are laughed at. We are rejected. We are dismissed. We are humiliated. Why become a Christian if it does not give you an easy life? The Navy SEALs have a saying that the only easy day was yesterday. And what that means is that there are no easy days. The easy days are done and over with. Life is hard whether we are saved or we are not saved. But God equips His followers for a hard life. And I'm going to say that again because it's important. God equips His followers for a hard life. This life is a trial by fire. This is a refiner's fire that is preparing us for eternity. It's not going to be easy, but God is going to help us all along the way. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. There will be times when God redirects trouble from us. Other times, troubles will come our way. God gives us the strength and the fortitude to stand in whatever trial we face. If He sends trouble our way or allows trouble to come our way, He equips us and stands with us in the midst of our trial. We can trust in the Lord. He will preserve our soul. If God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. Lord God, wherever You lead, we will follow You because our trust is in Him. Do we believe that, though? When we are facing struggles, when we are facing impossible things that we cannot possibly stand up against on our own, we need to remind ourselves that we are not alone. God is always with us. He always abides with us. And this is our God, the God of the Bible, the powerful, almighty God who never sleeps, who never slumbers, who will never leave us nor forsake us. In our going in and our coming out, whatever it is we find ourselves doing, God is right there with us. Even the times when we can't see what God is doing, God is alive and working in our lives. We are all on a journey here towards eternity. And we cannot and will not make it safely there on our own. If heaven is our destination, we will not get there on our own, because the only way we will get there is with Jesus. The help that the Lord provides must not be misconstrued or misunderstood. It is not like someone coming alongside to help us accomplish something that we could do on our own. Like when my daughter is emptying the dishwasher and I come up to help her to make it go a little smoother and a little faster for her. No, the help that God provides, we would not be able to accomplish the task without it. If we tried to do it on our own, we would fail. God helps us. God rescues us. God saves us. God makes our salvation possible. We recognize that when we look to the cross. We recognize that we are sinners and unable to save ourselves. We recognize that we have no power to save ourselves, and we understand why Jesus came to this earth. First, to do the will of the Father, and that will was to go to the cross after living a sinless life, to be beaten, to be bound, to bleed, and to die for our sin, a one-time perfect sacrifice. He died and was buried, and 3 days later rose victorious over death and over our sin. Those of us who believe have His righteousness upon us, even though we are totally depraved and without sin prior to that. God and God alone saves us. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that we can come tonight to hear Your word proclaimed. We thank You for all that You do for us, the things we know about and the things we have no idea about. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for sending Your Son, whom You loved, to this earth. A one-time sacrifice for us, Father. We can't fully grasp what that meant, but we are eternally grateful for it. Ask that You bless us as we leave this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace to you.